Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the H2O Innovation conference call announcing its third quarter 2019 financial results. Bonjour, madame et monsieur, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence de H2O Innovation annonçant les résultats financiers du troisième trimestre 2019. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulty hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. Cet appel se déroulera en anglais, mais n'hésitez pas à vous poser des questions en français. Before turning the meeting over to management, please be advised that this conference call will contain statements that could be forward-looking and subject to a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, May 15th, 2019, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. I will now turn the conference over to your hosts, Monsieur Frédéric Dugray and Marc Blanchet. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Yes, hi. Thank you and good morning, everyone. My name is Marc Blanchet. I'm CFO of H2O Innovation. This call will be held in English, but I'll just say a brief word in French to our French audience. Merci, bonjour à tous. Dans un premier temps, j'aimerais vous remercier d'assister à cet appel. Et vous avisez que même si l'appel se tiendra en anglais, nous répondrons aux questions qui seront posées en français dans la deuxième partie de l'appel. Pour faciliter le suivi de l'appel, je vous invite à télécharger la présentation sur notre site internet h2oinnovation.com dans la section investisseurs. Before we begin, I invite you to download a copy of today's presentation, which can be found on our website at h2oinnovation.com in the section investors. Frédéric Dugray, President and CEO of H2O, is joining me today for the call, which duration is approximately 30 minutes. I'll be presenting the Q3 results, Q3 financial year 2019 financial results, and Frédéric will then be present an update on the business. Please take a moment to read the forward-looking statement on page 2 and the non-IFRS financial measurement on page 3 of the presentation. I now invite you to go on slide 4 of the presentation, financial highlights. So for this third quarter of fiscal year 2019, we recorded revenues of $32.3 million. It's an increase of 21% compared to the same quarter last year. This increase is mainly coming from the acquisition of Haze, as well as the organic growth from the product specialty product business pillar and the operation and maintenance business pillar. The project and aftermarket revenue went from $9.8 million for the third quarter last year to $8.9 million this quarter. The focus of this business pillar is to improve the gross profit margin. Therefore, we reached that goal by focusing to execute industrial and wastewater projects. These projects come with higher gross profit margin. So the focus was not necessarily to grow revenue for this business pillar, but mostly grow profit margin. Our project team is very busy to continue to execute these projects. Our backlog is still at $48.1 million. And as we said in previous call, our focus is to maintain the same level of revenues, but improve the gross profit margin coming from that business pillar. Revenue from specialty product stood at $8 million compared to $7.8 million last year. The increase in revenue in this business pillar come from the expansion of the distribution network for PWT and Piedmont business lines and the launch of new products. Revenue of this business pillar increased, despite the fact that the maple business line industry was affected with weather condition last year. Therefore, there was a slowdown in investment from our customer in this business line. Revenue from operation and maintenance increased by 69% to reach $15.4 million, compared to $9.1 last year. Of this $6.3 million increase, $5.1 is coming from Haze. If you remember, we purchased a company in December 1st, Haze Utility South, and this last quarter was the first full quarter of revenue from Haze. Revenues, as I said, were $5.1 million for this new entity. There's also been organic growth in the operation and maintenance business pillar. The organic growth is coming from new contract and scope expansion we secured since the acquisition of Utility Partners in July 2016. The gross profit margin ratio increased to 23.3% compared to 21.7% last year. The increase of gross profit margin in percentage is explained by the business mix. Third and fourth quarter generally have stronger gross profit margins, since these are quarters where most of the revenues coming from specialty products are being recognized. Specialty products have higher gross profit margin than the average gross profit margin of the company. And as I said also before, the project and aftermarket business pillar, even though it's showing a decrease in revenue, the contribution in gross profit margin is higher due to those projects coming from industrial and wastewater projects. In the fourth quarter, we expect to continue to see improvement in the gross profit margin, and revenue should be in a similar range than the third quarter. SG&A expenses, slide 5. So the SG&A over revenue in percentage decreased to 17% compared to 18.4% for the third quarter last year. The decrease is explained by tight management of SG&A expenses while continuing to grow revenues over the same period. So the graph on that slide shows that on the last 12-month basis, we've maintained a very good control on our expenses. And as for Q4 2019, we expect to maintain a similar level in SG&A. Adjusted EBITDA, page 6. So adjusted EBITDA increased at $2.2 million for the third quarter from $1.1 million last year, which is a 100% increase compared to last year. Our adjusted EBITDA percentage increased to 6.8% for the three-month period compared to 4% for a similar three-month period last year. Increase of adjusted EBITDA in percentage is due to gross profit margin improvement. Again, same reasons. Higher level coming from higher level of revenue coming from specialty products and projects, industrial and wastewater projects that have a stronger contribution to gross profit margin and a good control on SG&A. If we go to slide 7, we can see the evolution of the adjusted EBITDA on an LTM basis. So the trend over the last 9 quarters is again improving. And as we can see, it's a positive long-term trend. So on an LTM basis, as of March 31st, it has been improved by almost 100% compared to the previous LTM period. So on an LTM period, adjusted EBITDA stood at $5.9 million. Or 5.4% compared to 3 million or 3% for the previous LTM period. So two main reasons for that, again, increasing gross profit margin and good control on SG&A. We expect to continue to maintain a similar ratio in the upcoming quarters. So we expect to, as I said a few times in previous calls, we expect to maintain finish the year above 6% EBITDA ratio over revenue for this fiscal year. Slide 8, adjusted net earnings. So this slide is to we want to highlight. Well, first, pretty proud to say that we are back in black with a net earnings of $500,000. But we also want to highlight here the fact that there's an adjusted net earning. So the net earnings here is affected by a few non-cash items that we account and so those non-cash items are acquisition-related costs, amortization and of intangible assets from acquisition, and stock-based compensation. So once we remove these, there's an adjusted. We show an adjusted net earnings of $1.3 million for the three-month period. And a $1.2 million for the nine-month period. $1.2 million for the nine-month period ended March 31st. Financial position. So the working capital increased by $5 million from $7.2 on June 30 to $2.2 as of March 31st, 2019. So there's been a significant increase in receivables. They stood at 20.4 on March 31st compared to 17.8 on June 30. This increase is coming from increase in revenues of the O&M business pillar and also increasing revenue in specialty products and timing in terms of invoice milestones for projects. Just want to highlight the fact that in the first 2 weeks of April, we have collected 3.4 million of receivable. So therefore, the amount of receivable has decreased significantly or substantially following the end of the quarter. Our cash flow position is in pretty good shape as we speak. So inventory increased by $800,000. This comes from increase coming from specialty product business pillars, where in these business, in these product division, we need to have inventory on hand in order to supply our important recurring customers. March 31st is also the peak of the maple season, and it requires also inventory on hand. There's also an increase of $200,000 coming from Hayes, which was acquired in December. Payable increased by $600,000 compared to June 30. This increase mainly due to the integration of Hayes. Hayes added $1.3 million of payable and accrued liability on a into the consolidated result. As of the net debt, it decreased by $6 million to reach 11.5 from 7.5 in June. So the decrease of the net debt comes from the extra equity that was raised when we did the financing of Hayes. And also it's coming from cash flow from operating activities, $2.6 million for the nine-month period of this year. So we also reduced the long-term debt by $1.6 million. So we generally reduced the long-term debt by about $500,000 per quarter. So we expect to finish this year with a continue to improve the financial position by year-end and continue to reduce the level of net debt by year-end. This concludes my remark. There's a cash flow. So the cash flow from operating activities, as I just said, it improved in the nine-month period, but for the quarter, it was decreased by $300,000. The decrease comes from the fact that in December 31st, we did a change of bank, and there was a bit of delay or some delays in the payables. So when we in January, when we came back from that switch of bank, we had a substantial amount or a higher amount than usual into our payables. So therefore, the more cash than usual was used to reduce those payables to a bring back this payable to a more normal level. This concludes my remark from the financial section, and I'll now hand over the call to Frederick for an update on business.
Good. Thank you, Mark. Well, we're extremely happy and pleased to present you these strong results for our third quarter. I would say that they represent effectively the uniqueness of our business model, providing high recurring sales with almost 82%, high customer retention, multiple sales synergies between our different business pillars, and a proven acquisition platform capable to integrate rapidly and efficiently new acquisitions. Indeed, the revenues on a last 12-month basis for this third quarter reached $110 million, up 11% from the previous fiscal year. But most importantly, we have been able to grow our adjusted EBITDA much faster than our revenues, showing again the scalability potential of our business and the sustained efforts deployed to improve our general gross margin. In fact, the LTM adjusted EBITDA stood at $5.9 million at the end of this third quarter, up 44% from the previous year. Overall, the continuous growth of our O&M business pillar contribute to de-risk significantly the business. At page 13, we illustrate how our business model continues to add predictability and how we are also capturing more sales synergies between the various business lines. Through our business model, we are encouraging long-term client retention. The partnership with Sustainable Water, announced earlier in Q3, clearly demonstrates how we're able to promote synergies with high customer retention. In this case, Sustainable Water, a U.S.-based company specialized in the development of water reuse assets, has developed a new water hub for a large industrial customer located in Virginia. This water hub is an eco-engineered water reclamation and reuse system that combines natural hydroponic treatment techniques with the latest filtration and disinfection technologies. H2O Innovation collaborates with Sustainable Water on this water hub project to provide equipment, specialty products, consumables, and O&M services. On a five-year basis, it is slightly more than $6.7 million of revenue that we'll be able to capture from this particular project. Currently, our project team, as Mark mentioned, is working on five other similar water hub projects dedicated to other industrial and institutional customers in the United States. Moreover, our sales team through Sustainable Water is also working on other 40 opportunities also in the United States. Now let's look at the progress done on each of our business pillars. Starting with the project and aftermarket pillar at slide number 14. The effort spent in the last quarters to push for diversification and is starting to really pay off. As you can see, we have been able to secure in the backlog more industrial projects and also maintain a significant portion of our backlog with wastewater projects. This healthy diversification will continue to have a positive impact on the gross profit generated by this business pillar. As we are growing our revenues on a quarterly basis and over a last 12-month basis, we are maintaining our project backlog to a high level of $48 million. The execution of projects continue to fuel opportunities to our aftermarket team to provide ongoing services and specialty products required in the day-to-day operation of a water or wastewater plant. At slide 15, we can see year over year how we have been able to push to capture more industrial and wastewater projects. Indeed, in Q3 of fiscal year 2018, only 27% of our new bookings were dedicated to industrial customers. Today, this segment stands at 36%, representing an important increase, allowing us to improve our weighted gross margin. For the wastewater, a similar progression and diversification also took place over the same period of time, moving from 23% to 38% the number of projects secured in the last year. These two strategic initiatives to grow wastewater and industrial sales will allow us to recognize revenues at higher gross margin in the coming quarters. Moving to slide number 16 on the specialty products. For the current quarter, the sales have slightly increased by 3.7%. This small increase is the reflect, unfortunately, of the negative impact of our maple equipment product line. Indeed, due to the adverse weather conditions during the 2018 maple syrup season, maple sales have decreased by 30% compared to the same quarter of the previous year. Now, despite this important slowdown, the two other business lines, PWT and Piedmont, have contributed to overcome this negative impact. More specifically, Piedmont reported strong sales in this third quarter, boosted by the delivery of one out of two large coupling orders that have been delayed since the beginning of our new fiscal year 2019. Also, its product diversification is really starting to pay off, as we're seeing an increasing amount of new filter housing orders being delivered month after month. Moving forward, we remain committed to expand our distribution network in order to cover new territories, and we continue to push for the development and addition of new products in our portfolio. Looking at the evolution of Piedmont's product offering at page 17, we can see how the company has evolved from being a one-product company, if I can say, only couplings, when we completed the acquisition in 2013, to, as of today, a multiple product line company by the addition of the FRP filter housing product line in 2016, and lately by the addition of the new disc and self-cleaning filter product line. This product diversification should enable us to leverage our sales network organization and thus increase our sales volume at same selling cost. On page 18, we can see how Piedmont is addressing the desalination and membrane filtration market. With the addition of this new self-cleaning screen and disc filter product line, we can now treat raw water right after the water intake, for example. Also, H2O Innovation Project Division will now be able to use this product line for its own projects in North America, creating additional sales synergies among our various business lines. Since 2016, we are selling FRP filter housing and pretreatment for membrane filtration plants, which have allowed us to practically double Piedmont sales. Through this important growth phase, Piedmont has remained a leader in the desalination industry for its high-quality couplings used for ultrafiltration, nanofiltration, and reverse osmosis. Other auxiliary products, such as elbow connectors, permeate connectors, and FiberMove, complete the portfolio. Piedmont is now recognized as a corrosion-resistant equipment and component supplier focusing on the desalination market. On slide 19, we can appreciate how our revenues and O&M backlog have evolved from this third quarter and over a last 12-month basis. For this third quarter of fiscal year 2019, our O&M recurrent revenues have increased to $15.4 million, representing a 69% growth over a 12-month period. 80% of this growth comes from the acquisition of ACE completed in December 2018, representing $5.1 million. On the other end, the 20% of the growth is coming from organic growth. The organic growth is notably attributable to scope of work increase on existing contracts, CPI adjustments, and ramp-up of new O&M contracts in Texas. The O&M backlog stands at $90.6 million, representing a 33% increase from the previous fiscal year. The significant augmentation is boosted by the renewal of multiple O&M contracts that will be executed over a number of years. Now, it's important to note that A's O&M contracts are not included in this backlog, since the majority of A's contracts with the municipal utility district, the typical customers, are usually evergreen contracts. This important backlog combined to the high recurrent MUDs or municipal utility district customers of A's are providing us an excellent visibility on the revenues for the coming quarters. Moving to page 20, the integration of A's acquisition completed on December 1st is moving along on time and on budget. 4 months following the acquisition, we have been able to retain all our customers and employees. Right after the acquisition, we have implemented new delegation of authority and new controls are now in place. And I'm pleased to report that A's is now working on new opportunities to grow sales. Even better, our teams of A's and utility partner have secured the first sales synergies for one of our existing customers in Texas. These synergies have started to impact our P&L and should represent additional revenues of approximately $500,000 to $700,000 per year. Within 3 years, we have moved from almost nothing in Texas to now multiple project references and many other O&M contracts. Together, on an annual basis, we now have $20 to $25 million worth of revenues coming from Texas. This state in itself is strategic for us, as it represents high growth potential for both the project and the O&M business pillar. Now let's move to page 21, showing the key highlights of this third quarter. Our revenues continue to grow at 21%, boosted by the acquisition of ACE completed on December 1st, 2018. Also, our diversified and strong consolidated backlog of $138 million coming from the projects and O&M contracts is providing us an excellent visibility for the coming quarters. The project backlog is very healthy, as we have a greater number of industrial and wastewater projects, providing us a higher gross margin contribution. With growing revenues from O&M, specialty products, and aftermarket services, we now have more than 80% of our revenues that are recurring by nature. Our business model is designed to encourage recurring revenues and promote high customer retention. The synergies among our various business pillars are captured more and more every day. Our offering is becoming well integrated and adopted by many new and existing customers. The projects and aftermarket business pillar is working hard to continue its diversification towards more industrial and wastewater projects. This is starting to really pay off as we're starting to observe an improvement in the gross margin of the business pillar. Even though the third quarter was impacted by a slowdown in our maple equipment sales, Piedmont was able to catch up and delivered one of the two large coupling orders that were previously postponed. The increasing sales of the FRP filter housing product line is also starting to impact positively our P&L. Finally, our third business pillar, the O&M, remained busy with the integration of A's acquisition completed on December 1st, 2018. This new acquisition is providing the group with a strong business base in Texas that we intend to grow further. As mentioned earlier, we are pleased to report that we have already captured our first sales synergies between A's and one of our existing customers in Texas. Our backlog of $90.6 million of O&M contracts is providing us, again, an excellent visibility for the coming quarters. Finally, our third quarter results is showing a strong adjusted EBITDA of $2.2 million and a net earnings of $500,000. What I like about this quarter results is that they are not impacted positively or negatively by one big one-off event. It is just good combination of execution, hard work, and strategic moves. These results combine to an improved balance sheet, a large backlog of $138 million, and a business model with more than 80% of recurring sales gives us confidence in our ability to finish the year strong. This now completes the management presentation. I will now turn it back to the operator for the Q&A period.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Pour poser une question, appuyez sur l'étoile suivie de 1 sur votre clavier téléphonique. Veuillez patienter un moment pendant que nous compilons les questions. Your first question comes from Gary Sweeney from Roth Capital. Your line is open.
Hey, good morning, Frederic and Mark.
Hey, good morning, Jerry.
Hey, congratulations on a great quarter. Love the EBITDA and is great as well. Just the leverage coming through the model. So congratulations. A couple quick questions. Obviously, you're gaining steam. You're building some additional growth around existing products and segments, et cetera. But when on the product side, how much visibility do you have or can you describe in your backlog on projects that are municipal versus industrial? Should we continue to see this shift going forward, and do you have sort of a target of 50-50, any type of target, sort of muni versus industrial, any sort of guidance on that front?
Well, I mean, being now, I would say, almost like one-third, two-thirds municipal and one-third industrial, I think to remain between the one-third and 50% of industrial is something that is achievable. What I like about the municipal sector, even though sometimes, I wouldn't say it's all the time, but we have seen lower margins on some projects, is that it will remain there for the following year, the following 5 years, and the following 10 years. Municipal sector, I mean, there's so much you can do in terms of pushing forward the investment that are required on a municipal project. So it's very defensive, and I like to keep some of it. I wouldn't say that I want to return an area where we had 90-95% of our sales coming from municipal sector only, because it adds pressure down on the margins. But keeping a balance between 30-50% of industrial projects, 30-50%, I think is achievable, and I think it's within what we see in our pipeline and current backlog.
So at the end of the day, municipal, big market, lots of opportunity, very steady. You sort of backfill with higher margin on the industrial side, and
yeah,
it sort of fills up capacity and et cetera.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
perfect.
And it allows us also to be more selective, if I can say, on the projects we want to pursue for different reasons, right? If we have this, we're able to maintain a $50 million kind of backlog, then we have the ability to be more selective on the one that we want to really pursue and why we want to do it.
Got it. Selective.
And as you know, Jerry, it's Mark speaking. As you know, municipal projects have gross profit margin that are between 10 to 15%, while while industrial and wastewater project have upper teens and sometimes even lower 20% gross profit margin. So this, you know, with the same level of revenue can significantly improve the EBITDA just by having higher gross profit margin projects.
And one of the drivers that we see now, which is relatively new in H2O, is this new partnership that we have announced with Sustainable Water. I mean, as I said, we're currently working on five other projects. We just finished the commissioning of one in Virginia for a large industrial customer, a flagship customer. But we do have other industrial and institutional customers that we're currently working on, plus a pipeline of 40 other opportunities. So this particular partnership in itself is giving us, you know, the ability to improve the margin because of the added value, because of the water reuse nature of the scope that we're doing there as well.
Actually, that was my next question, was just, you know, maybe a little bit more detail on the sustainable water partnership. You know, how this is this for both industrial and municipal? You know, is there an opportunity to work with other providers throughout either U.S. or in different countries to develop other similar partnerships, anything like that?
Well, currently we are their preferred supplier for the equipment side and the operation side as well. So we want to grow this relationship first. I'm not aware of other particular partner outside of USA that are doing similar things, but their approach is pretty unique. It's pretty innovative. They go and they develop these water and wastewater assets for, again, industrial and institutional clients, and they sign a water processes agreement for 20, 25 years with them, then giving us the ability to have long-term exposure as well when it comes to operation and maintenance. I think right now I would prefer to grow and build on this current relationship and build up momentum and build up on successes that we had in the first one before looking at other options.
We have a similar...
Got it. I didn't mean to get the cart before the horse there, so I apologize on that front. So also, I mean, these 20 to 25-year projects, would you be running the facility for them? Is that as well as maybe parts and other services throughout that entire
absolutely.
Contract?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So that's the idea between behind the slide that we just put, that slide number 13, is to show that not only we're providing the equipment worth $3.2 million, but we are adding our specialty chemicals and products and consumables that they will be using on a yearly basis to run the plant. But we're also bringing a team that will operate the plant and start it actually as we speak, you know, in this end of third and fourth quarter, is started to operate the plant itself. So it's really the three business pillars that contribute all together to create value for the customer. And this is why I think for Sustainable, we're a partner of choice. Because, you know, I like to say that, but there's full accountability on our end to perform. And if there's an issue, obviously, there's one neck to choke, if I can say.
Got it. That's great detail. And then final, one more quick question. I'll jump back in queue. On the specialty products, sounded like maple was a little bit lower this year because of lower maple sales last year. So obviously people just had a little less money to spend on equipment, et cetera. One question, but two parts. You know, has this happened in the past? And two, have you seen an increase in the following year, sort of a catch-up on spending that they didn't because they didn't spend in one particular year?
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. I mean, it happens in the past. There was some down in the previous seasons and bad seasons, and then it catch up. Is it catching up, you know, over a year? Is it catching up over 2 years? But, I mean, there's a point where farmers or producers have no choice but to invest into upgrades or new equipment. And still, the maple industry in itself is still growing. You know, the global demand for this high-end product remains high and is growing, and the product is starting to be known more and more internationally as well. So there's a greater number of new production and increasing demand on the product. It's just that momentarily they had a bad year, and they're more defensive on their investment now. There's another phenomenon that we're starting to observe as well in the maple industry in itself, is that there's a new generation coming in of new producers, younger producers, that are now looking for more advanced and performing technologies, automatization, control, data monitoring, as new farmers, for example. And they then are investing into these technologies to overcome the shortfall of access, you know, to labor, right? So they're using technologies, and this is why ultimately if they don't invest necessarily this year, they may invest in the following year or in 2 years from now. But the trend is still relatively positive.
Great. Thanks very much. I'll jump back in line. I appreciate it.
Your next question comes from Gabriel Leung from Beacon Securities. Your line is open.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. Couple things. First, hi there. Couple things. First, just maybe let's talk about the near-term outlook for a second. Mark, in your preamble, I might have missed this, but did you say that for fiscal Q4, you're anticipating revenues to sort of remain flattish quarter over quarter? Was that total revenues, or were you talking about projects?
No, the quarter revenue should be pretty similar to the one we just recorded on Q3.
Okay, total revenues. Okay, gotcha. But at the same time, you are anticipating a continued improvement on gross margins, just based on, I guess, revenue mix and productivity?
That's correct.
Okay, perfect. And then for the full year, you're still maintaining that 6% EBITDA margin target, I guess, then?
That's correct.
Okay, perfect. Just wanted to clarify that. All right, and maybe as a mid to longer term question for you guys, you know, you've obviously evolved quite a bit over the last couple of years. You know, you're obviously having success in cross-selling, upselling, etc. So I guess my question is, as you look forward, what do you think you still need to add to the business today to further broaden out the portfolios? Or what's the main focus? Is it around adding another pillar? Is it around geographic expansion? Maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, there's two things that we're trying to do here, and what we just announced with the addition of this new product line for Piedmont is an example, a small initiative, but still an example of what we're trying to accomplish here. We do have, I would say, more or less, you know, 50 to 60 international distributors buying and reselling the Piedmont and the PWT product line. If we're able to leverage this distribution network by adding more product, expanding the offering, then we're enabled us not only to add more sales and grow top line, but leverage tremendously our cost of doing sales. So this is one that we're always on the look. And also, if you look at it on the perspective of the customers, the large EPC and the large customers we have internationally going through these distributors are always looking to have some kind of consolidation when it comes to part and components. They like to deal with vetted, you know, suppliers, recognized suppliers that are capable of delivering multiple different product lines. So if they can combine their order within the same end to a single source, sometimes it's much easier for them. So strategically for us, expanding the specialty products, leveraging our sales network is something that we have definitely on the look that we want to do in the coming years. Now, the other thing that we're also pursuing strategically is to grow the operation and maintenance basis. Why? Well, because first, it's very cash flow positive, it's predictable, but also more and more, we're starting to realize that it brings additional opportunities for the two other pillars. So because now we have a privileged relationship with the end user, because we are the operator of their infrastructure, we have the ability to position the company in the best manner to not only bring more opportunities for sales, but create really value for the end user in many ways, providing new software, upgrading equipment, providing new consumables, new products. And this is something that we have been doing more and more repeatedly, quarter after quarter, since we acquired Utility Partner back in 2017. So adding more O&M, expanding specialty products, these are two big trends that we want to do. And obviously, keep growing the project business in itself, I mean, through the execution and through the strategy we discussed previously, but yeah.
That's great. Thank you very much for the feedback, and congrats on the quarter.
Thank you. Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Vous posez une question, appuyez sur l'étoile suivie sur votre clavier téléphonique. Your next question comes from Daniel Rosenberg from Haywood Securities. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Congrats on a good quarter. I just had a follow-up on on the sustainable water agreement. So I saw that, you disclosed 6 projects already, and you mentioned that they're already part of the backlog. But with the other 40 or so opportunities that you're exploring with them, how will that impact your backlog? Are we going to see a ramp in the near term, or is this going to be slowly a slow progressing opportunity over time?
Well, it's still hard to say exactly when they're going to turn from opportunities to a backlog, to a sales. But we see continuous progression on these various opportunities. They are at different bidding stage, if I can say, going from a proposal to a firm quotation to a firm price. So, but definitely we should see that it will become a good portion of our backlog ultimately as we keep executing and delivering these existing 5 ones that we have.
Great. And in terms of the Hayes acquisition, the uniqueness of that market with all the mud opportunities that there are, you mentioned that you guys are seeing more cross-selling opportunities through Hayes. Are new MUDs coming up for kind of contracting opportunities to move into new MUDs? How should we think about the large market there and how often a new opportunity comes through?
Well, just the market itself, the MUD market in Texas, there's about of 70 new MUDs a year that are added every year. So these are like greenfield projects, new MUDs being developed for new housing. So this is the market in itself. And yes, we're trying to position ourselves with these new MUDs. Now, within the existing MUDs, I would say now our team, existing team, sales team we have is becoming more, I would use the term aggressive, but more keen to go after opportunities. Obviously, the company was, for a number of years, a privately owned company, managed in a certain way, pleased with their performance. Now I think the arrival of H2O Innovation and the team in place now perceive this transaction as an opportunity to further grow this platform. And then, I think, the employees there and the team there are starting to see more blue sky, and they want to participate to the growth of A's, and they want to participate to the growth of H2O. So now, yes, we should see growth coming in the next fiscal year, I would say, now that the company have settled and completed the integration process.
Great. And just the last one for me. I know it's early days with the new product line at Piedmont, but do you have any indications in terms of how sales are going with the new filter line?
Well, as I said, in the FRP filter housing, over, I would say, slightly more than 2 years, but let's say 2 years, have allowed Piedmont to double its sales. Now, will the screen filters and this filter allow us to also add, a similar growth? It's maybe early to know, but I can tell you that, we have already multiple of proposals on the table. We have already secured the first orders that we delivered. Actually, it's a good news, but H2O was among the first customer for this new product line on one of our projects in the United States. So it will ramp up definitely in the coming year. But I would say the most of the impact will start to kick in, I would say, in the next fiscal year.
Okay, great. Congrats again. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Alain Paquette from Canaccord Genuity. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Congratulations for a great quarter. Really good to see these numbers. Regarding the revenue mix, given that right now about 82% is recurrent in nature, that's a fair increase versus the previous quarters. And is it an area do you feel comfortable with? Is this the sweet spot? This is where you want to be at about 80%?
Well, I would say this is probably in a high side. It will be definitely, I would say, above the 70% line. It might be a little bit high due to the momentarily, I would say, lower or low level of projects we had, particularly on this quarter. Obviously, one pillar mixing with the other ones has an impact on this percentage of recurring sales. But fundamentally, Alain, the strategy is really to grow further specialty products and O&M. So will it remain between 70 to 80%, in the number of quarters, and then the trend, will be definitely to move a long term towards these high figures,
Okay. Good. And then regarding the sustainable water partnership there, I'm really quite pleased with these water hub project. I really like those projects. And can you give us some color on the like the lead time from the moment, like you're currently working on five projects. From the moment that these projects let's say get signed to being recorded as revenue and all that, what kind of lead time do we talk about here for a typical water hub?
Well, from zero to a full commissioning phase, by the time we're commissioning and pass it on to the operation and maintenance, I would say there's about, a 12 to 18 month period of time, depending on the size of the project. So the third quarter was particularly impacted by one of this project, the Virginia Water Hub that I mentioned. The fourth quarter, there's another water hub initial projects that we're currently working on that will impact more the fourth quarter. And I think, the way we have visibility, I mean, we should see more and more of these, impacting our future quarters.
Okay, great. And my last question there, given your run rate, 12-month run rate revenues somewhere around 130 million, what is maple syrup in all this like in terms of percentage? It's isn't it becoming pretty marginal?
More and more, obviously, because I think the other divisions are growing faster. We're not necessarily, Alain, disclosing the particular revenues for this particular business line.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, the trend is, even though there was momentarily slowed down this year, the trend is still to see, marginal growth into that particular sector.
Good, thank you.
Good, merci, Alain.
We have no further questions. I will turn the call back over to the presenters. Il n'y a plus de questions en ce moment. Je repasse la parole au présentateur.
All right, well, thank you very much for your attendance this morning, and we'll look forward to present you the fourth quarter results along the annual fiscal year 2019 that will be reported at the end of September this year. Thank you very much again, and look forward to talk to you. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Ceci met fin à notre conférence d'aujourd'hui. Vous pouvez maintenant raccrocher.